Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. All together, please. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Ganandana Salakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Didati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yukta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrijatam Sahagana Raganatam Vitam Dham Sajivam Sarvetam Savadutam Prijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padang Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamscha Hey Krishna Karana Sindhu Dhina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gubika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapcha Kanchina Gaurange Radhe Vrindavanishwari Vrishubhana Sudadevi Pranamami Hari Priye Panchakalpa Dharubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bevacha Paditanam Padnebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasaji Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram 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 Hare Hare. So reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, translation and commentary, His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada, Canto 7, Chapter 10, verse 13. Please repeat. Bhogena punyam kusalena papam kalevaram kala javena hitva kirtim Vishuddham Surya Loka Gitam Vitaya Mam Eshyasi Muktabhandha Bhogena Punyam Kushalena Papam Kalevaram Kala Javena Hitva Kirtim Vishuddham Surya Loka Gitam Vitaya Mam Ejasi Mukta Bhandaha Bhogena Punya Kushalena Papam Kalevaram Kala Javena Hitva Kirtim Vishuddham Sura Loka Gitam Vitaya Mam Ejasi Mukta Bhandaha Bhogena Punyam Kushalena Papam Kalevaram Kala Jivena Hitva Kirtim Vishuddham Surya Loka Gitam Vitaya Mam Ejasi Mukta Bhandaha Bhogena By feelings of material happiness, Punya, pious activities, or their results. Kushalena, by acting piously, devotional service is the best of all pious activities. Papam, all kinds of reactions to impious activities. Kalevaram, the material body. Kala Javena, by the most powerful time factor. Hitva, giving up. Ketim, reputation. Vishuddham, transcendental, or fully purified. Shuraloka Gitam, praised even in the heavenly planets. Vitaya, spreading all through the universe. Mam, unto me. Ajasi, you will come back. Muktabandha, being liberated from all bondage. Translation, Srila Prabhupada. My dear Prahlad, while you are in this material world, you will exhaust all the reactions of pious activity by feeling happiness. And by acting piously, you will neutralize impious activity. Because of the powerful time factor, you will give up your body. But the glories of your activities will be sung in the upper planetary systems. And being fully freed from all bondage, you will return home back to Godhead. Please repeat. My dear Prahlad, while you are in this material world, you will exhaust all the reactions of pious activity by feeling happiness and by acting piously, you will neutralize impious activity. Because of the powerful time factor, you will give up your body. But the glories of your activities will be sung in the upper planetary systems. And being fully freed from bondage, you will return home back to Godhead. Purport, Srila Prabhupada. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, Evam praladasya yam sena sadhana sitvam nitya sitvam cha naridvi gyeham. There are two classes of devotees, the sadhana siddha and the nitya siddha. Prahlad Maharaj was a mixed siddha. That is, he is perfect partly because of executing devotional service and partly because of eternal perfection. Thus he is compared to such devotees as Narada. Formerly, Narada Muni was the son of a maidservant, and therefore in his next birth he attained perfection, sadhana siddhi, because of having executed devotional service. Yet he is also a nitya siddha because he never forgets the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The word kushilena is very important. One should live in the material world very expertly. The material world is known as the world of duality because one sometimes has to act impiously and sometimes he has to act piously. Although one does not want to act impiously, the world is so fashioned that there is always danger. Padam padam yad bi padam. Thus, even when performing devotional service, a devotee has to create many enemies. Prahlad Maharaj himself had experience of this, for even his father became his enemy. A devotee should expertly manage to think always of the Supreme Lord, so that the reactions of suffering cannot touch him. This is the expert management of papa punya, pious and impious activities. An exalted devotee like Prahlad Maharaj is Jivan Mukta. He is liberated even in this very life, in the material body. Makam Kuruchi Bachalam Pangam Lai Tegrim Yat Kripa Tamaham Bande Sri Guru Divitarinam Bhogeda Punya Kushilena Papam Kalevaram Kala Javena Hitva Kirtim Bishudham Suraloka Gitam Vithaya Mam Ejasi Mukta Bandaha. My dear Prahlad, while you are in this material world, you will exhaust all reactions of pious activity by feeling happiness. And by acting piously, you will neutralize impious activity. Because of the powerful time factor, you will give up your body, but the glories of your activities will be sung in the upper planetary systems. And being fully freed from all bondage, you will return home, back to Godhead. Jai. So, this is a very nice sloka. We can see the compassion, the love of Nrisimhadev for Prahlad Maharaj. He's reassuring Prahlad Maharaj. We must remember Prahlad Maharaj, though he's a pure devotee, but at the same time he's 5 years or 6 years, very young child. So generally people are anxious about the future. They're anxious about health. I remember one lecture by Srila Prabhupada, and he was explaining that traditionally the Brahmins in a classic Vedic society, they would be expert in Ayurveda, because that's another anxiety, how to maintain health, how to eat the right diet and so on for good brain and health. And people are also anxious about the future. So the Brahmin would be expert also in Jyotish. He would be an expert in astrology, and he could advise his students, those that applied for guidance to him, about good health and the future. Because in the material world, people are very concerned of those things. Now, of course, Prahlad Maharaj, we understand, he is a, as Prabhupada is explaining there, he's a Nitya Siddha and a Sadhana Siddha. So, for the devotee who is realized in the shelter of Krishna, he is knowing the presence of Krishna, he's feeling the presence of Krishna, he's feeling the shelter of Krishna, Krishna Ashraya. So his anxieties are very minimal, even within the material world. Because, though Prabhupada, though rather Nrisimhadev here, he says, oh, you will go back home to Godhead. The devotee knows that going back home to Godhead is not a matter of location, but it is a matter of consciousness. We can live in the spiritual world very nicely, even within the material body. And in the Kushalam, Prabhupada there in the purport, he... Oh, thank you very much. You're very kind. So even in the material world, we can expertly execute our duties and in that way live on the transcendental platform. Kushalam means very expertly, as Prabhupada said. So of course we know how to do that through the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna explains the most confidential knowledge, four things. Everyone can remember four things. Manmana bhavamad bhakto majaji mam namaskaru. If we live in that way, then the reactions of our impious activities are placated. And the pious activities, we will experience happiness, but the happiness of transcendental consciousness is a different realm. In the material world, we take sensual or mental gratification as happiness. But it is just a titillation of the senses and the mind, and we identify with these things, but we get some kind of ephemeral satisfaction. But it is fleeting, and it is not truly satisfying, because we are spiritual beings. So it is a lessening of the distress of the material world. However, the happiness of the spiritual kingdom, the transcendental realm, Vaikuntha, that is unlimited and is ananta. It is nirantaram. It is continuous. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, we all know the title of Rupa Goswami's book. So it's explained in Chaitanya Charitamrita that Lord Chaitanya, he was diving in the ocean of rasa, bhakti ras, and he was swimming and diving and enjoying all the different currents of rasa. Rasa means mellow. Jai, Sri Sri Gaur-Nitai, Krishna Balaram, Radha Shyam Sunda, Lalit Vishaka, Tulsi Maharani, Brinda Devi, Shalagram Maharaj, and Giri Govardhan Gomata Ki Jai. So he was in the transcendental platform. The happiness or the bliss is of a different quality. It is within the soul. It is within the consciousness. It is not external to the consciousness. And in the material world, this material body is external to the soul. It is the external material body, the external material mind. So somehow or other, the consciousness enters the mind and body through the realm of the Maya Shakti, and identifying with the body, derives some temporary pleasure from the material energy and the material fluctuations. But in the transcendental realm, the soul is in his natural environment. The transcendental realm is unmixed spirituality. Here the material world is a mixture of spirit and matter. So the skill of life is how to always be tuned to the transcendental energy that is fully manifest within the material world, but hidden, if you like, by the covering or our attitude of enjoyment towards the material energy. So therefore, acharyas have given the example for our understanding that antirmukh and bahirmukh, that the materialist is outward looking, whereas the spiritualist is inward looking. There's one sloka in the Gita, the sage, the sadhu, the devotee, his attention is within, his action is within, his action is focused on his consciousness of Krishna. And to maintain that perception of Krishna continuously and expertly avoid the material distraction, one should chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. That will bring us, it will awaken us, it will give us perception of the transcendental platform. It will give, the mantra, he, will give us perception of transcendence. So the devotee, through his sadhana, through the mercy of Krishna, through the mercy of Guru, through the mercy of Shastra, he develops an inner reservoir of realization of Krishna and transcendence. And so he lives within that realization of Krishna, and he increases that realization and perception of transcendence through his continual meditation, smaranam, absorption in that transcendental platform. And so that is never lost. There is in the Gita again, Nahabra Nasho, right? In this endeavor there's no loss or diminution. So your transcendental realization becomes your eternal possession. So the devotee's attitude is towards consciousness, because Krishna is realized on the consciousness platform. We say, yes, that this material world is a matter of matter and spirit. A mixture of matter and spirit. So the way this transcendental realm is realized is through consciousness, not through the material body. The material body constructed by Lord Brahma, it is naturally attracted to the material energy. The tongue, the senses, the hearing, the taste, all the working and knowledge acquiring senses, they're naturally attracted to their particular object. The ear wants to hear good sound, harmonious sound, a nicely played madanga. It doesn't want to hear something out of rhythm, out of tune. It wants to hear the nice thing. When we want to see something, we want to see the beauty of a sunrise, the beauty of a rainbow. We don't want to see some modern art. It's just a rabid display of madness, propagandized as modern and elevating. No, it wants to see something that evokes beauty. And in this way, the heart is satisfied. So this attachment to beauty and rasa is only truly fulfilled when the consciousness is fixed on the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, the ocean of nectar. So here, Lord Nrisingadev is instructing Prahlad Maharaj, guiding, reassuring Prahlad Maharaj with great love and attention, that don't worry, Prahlad Maharaj, now, because I believe, yes, that's right, Prahlad Maharaj was installed as the king of the Asuras. Prahlad Maharaj and Hiranyakashipu and his army, they were devastated by Nrisingadev. But Prahlad Maharaj is now going to be on the throne and he will rule the Asuras. So that is not, he is a devotee, but he's going to have to rule the Asuras. So of course, he will, through his purity and his devotion to the Supreme Lord, he will be able to draw those asuras from this material entanglement, this material sensuality, this focus on the material energy as a source of satisfaction and enjoyment, and he will draw those asuras to the transcendental platform. Lord Rishabhdev has said that, right, he ends towards the ends of his teachings to his sons before he renounced his high position and went to the forest for further meditation. He said, Guru Niyasyat, Pita Niyasyat, right? You should become a king, ruler, teacher, father, whatever, any position of authority, unless you can liberate your dependence from birth and death. Unless you can guide them to the transcendental position, don't take any position of authority. And this is Rishabhdev, he's talking to his sons. They're all of the kingly order. They're all Kshatriyas. They're all meant to administrate, defend, and the society. But that is not enough, he's telling them. You must do your duties in this way, but your real duty is to bring people to consciousness of transcendence. So Prahlad Maharaj is being assured, don't worry, I'm with you, Prahlad. I'm going to leave now, but you will always be aware of me through your devotional consciousness. Manmana bhava mad bhakto madhyaji mam namaskaru. So, man, that means the consciousness should be absorbed. How? But in a devotional manner. So, as we say before, the devotional mood towards Krishna, loving devotion, appreciation of Krishna and all his gifts to us as living entities should be performed in a devotional manner. If you want to maintain continuous meditation upon Krishna, it must be through loving attachment. And then madhyaji. What does that mean? Madhyaji means perform everything as an offering to me. For instance, you get up for Mangalarti early. You offer that austerity. You have a cold shower before Mangalarti. You offer that to Krishna. You put on your clothes. That is your offering to Krishna. You put on tilak. That's you. You perform it as an offering to Krishna. You cook some prasad, prepare some prasad. This is obviously an offering to Krishna. But madhyaji means that every moment, every activity we perform is offered to Krishna. Because these are all necessary activities, cleaning and maintaining the body, so on and so forth. So these things can be offered to Krishna. Nirbandha Krishna Sambande Yukta Vairag Se Uchite. Rupa Goswami has said that those things that can be offered and done in relationship, those things that are pleasing to Krishna, they are suitable. But Nirbandha, those things that are not in relationship to Krishna, such as thievery, impious activity, all these bad things, they cannot be offered to Krishna. A devotee should avoid those. And those things that can be offered to Krishna, they should be his life. And those things that cannot be offered to Krishna, the devotee should step by step exclude them. So that his whole offering, whole life, every moment, madhyaji. And that will come from a devotional mentality. Then mam namaskaru. We should always maintain humility. It's not that, I'm performing so many activities and Krishna is bound. That is the karma mimamsa idea. That is Jaimini, he's one of the fifth of the six darshans of the Vedanta. And that is the idea that I perform yajnas and this and that and Vishnu is bound to give me. So that makes Vishnu subordinate. No, the devotee never considers that the Supreme Lord is bound to reciprocate with me. He takes mam namaskuru, a position of humility. If this pleases you, my Lord, you accept my offering. And he offers in a humble manner. And this mentality, this catches the heart of the Supreme Lord. The devotee then becomes the possessor of Krishna because he captures the heart. Just like we have that story about Bilva Mangala Thakur. So of course he was, you know the story of course, Bilva Mangala Thakur, great devotee, he wrote Sri Krishna Karanamrita. So he was actually blinded. You know the story. It's a very distressful story. But he was blinded and Krishna used to personally come and give him milk and prasadam. He came to Vrindavan. His samadhi is in Gopinath Bazaar, if you want to visit. It's still there to this day. And the Saivites in that temple are very nice, very sweet people. So, one time he grabbed the hand of Krishna. I know who you are. You're Gopal. You're not an ordinary person bringing me prasadam. So Krishna, he shook himself free. He shook himself free. And then Bilba Mangala, very famous, he said, oh, you may escape my grasp, but you cannot escape my heart. So this is the way the Supreme Lord is bound by the devotee's love. So we must always remember, this is the most confidential knowledge, to always be absorbed in Krishna in a devotional manner. Now at the beginning we may not have some devotion. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, just like a businessman, he has one paisa, but he invests that, and then he's got some profit, and then with that profit he reinvests and he gets more profit. So he gives this as an example that the devotee, with whatever devotion he has in his neophyte condition, he prays to the Lord, please Lord, give me more devotion. Just like Prahlad Maharaj, and the Sringadeva is offering him so many material benedictions. Prahlad Maharaj says, just one thing I want, and that is no material desire in my heart. Also, actually, he prays for the liberation of his father also. That is, and he's assured by Nrisingadev that don't worry about that. You're a pure devotee, Prahlad. And so 21 generations in the past and in the future, they will all be on the path of liberation by connection with you. So the devotee, he is completely absorbed in Krishna by the devotional mentality, and because of that gratitude, he offers everything to Krishna. He feels that I am not qualified for this mercy of the Lord. So here we have in the purport, and also here Prabhupada is explaining that Prahlad Maharaj is a Nitya Siddha. So that means he's eternally perfect, yet at the same time he's Sadhana Siddha. And he quotes Vishwanath Chakravarti there in the purport, Prabhupada, saying that there are other devotees similar to that. So somebody may say, how is that? If he's Nitya Siddha, then how he has to perform sadhana? Because Siddha is the big word. He's perfect. So why does he have to perform sadhana bhakti to become perfect? Bhakti is divided into two. Sadhana bhakti and bhava bhakti. Sadhana bhakti means you perform rules and regulations, and then within that you cultivate rag. Rag means attraction. And then when your rag, your attraction to Krishna, becomes rati, then ashakti and bhava awaken in the heart. And then you're in the platform of bhava bhakti, liberated soul. And then that condenses into the fourth stage, prem bhakti. So if Prahlad Maharaj is a prem bhakta, a nitya siddha, then how is he having to perform sadhana? Well, that is actually, previously, I was just seeing in verse 3 of this same chapter. The explanation is there. O worshipable Lord, because of the seed of lusty desires, which is the root cause of material existence, is within the core of everyone's heart, you have sent me to this material world to exhibit the symptoms of a pure devotee. So this is a very interesting shloka, and it explains this apparent dichotomy between sadhana and nichya-siddha. You have sent me to this material world to exhibit the symptoms of a pure devotee. So yes, he's nichya-siddha, but he is performing sadhana, he is going through the distress. As Prabhupada pointed out in the purport, you get enemies when you, in this material world, for every Vasudev there's a Kamsa, right? You get enemies in this material world. The materialist is always frustrated. It's like pressing the button of an animal if you annoy them. They suddenly become enraged. What? You don't think I'm the center of the universe? I do. You don't agree? So, these materialists, frustrated, they see the peacefulness, the inner satisfaction, the blissfulness, and even the respect a devotee receives through his purity from the general population, and they become envious. They may have so many variegated ideas of envy and reason and justification, but the fact is they become hateful towards the devotee. So that is one aspect of the material world that Prahlad is illustrating. And then at the same time, we know Prahlad Maharaj, he heard from Narada Muni, when the wife of Hiranyakashipu, when Hiranyakashipu went to Mandara Mountain to perform austerities, the wife went to the ashram of Narada Muni. And Narada Muni instructed the wife of Hiranyakashipu in bhakti, and Prahlad Maharaj, nitya-siddha, not restrained by material situations, he was able to hear the instructions of Narada. So this is also the most important part of sadhana, is to hear. Prabhupada emphasizes, all acharyas, you must hear. You must hear from the Shastra. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam, Padasevanam. You must hear from the Shastra. We say, Om Jnana Timarandasya, right? The spiritual master has opened my eyes, what with? The torchlight of knowledge. So all the Shastra, Vedavyas, all the great acharyas, they have written Shastra, they have given so much instruction, and these nectarine books, they draw the devotion out of the soul to the amenable applicant. So, in this way, if we look previous to this, we see that Prahlad Maharaj, he performed sadhana, having heard from Narada Muni in that remarkable way, he was then, he then was instructing his classmates. So this is very interesting. He was hearing and then he was kirtanam, describing the Supreme Lord and encouraging them to chant the holy name. And of course, that was the spark that lit the fire of Hiranyakashipu's anger. Oh, you are preaching that somebody other than me is the Supreme? So this is the materialist. He wants to be God. And so many constructions, Satanism, Luciferianism, Mayavad, all these, they all boil down to one revolting idea, that I will become God. But the devotee knows that you can become greater than God by bhakti. This is like a secret element, actually. Of course, we don't want to become, but we capture Krishna in the heart, but we're not applying to Krishna for any enjoyment material. We only, oh, please Krishna, make me a pure devotee. Why? So that my service to you is more pleasing. Just like Duruka, he was fanning Krishna, right? Famous story. And he was feeling ecstasy to be using the chamara on the form of Krishna. And his hand was, he was feeling such ecstasy that he couldn't fan Krishna properly. So he cursed this ecstasy. So the devotee's central concern is that my service will be pleasing to the Supreme Lord. And that is Majjhaji. He's absorbed in the idea that I should perform a life that is offerable to Krishna at every moment. And then I offer it to Krishna, and by His grace, let that be accepted. He doesn't presume. Because Supreme Lord is unlimited, He's Admaram, He's the source of everything. Everything is within Krishna. So he is having no need of everything. But he's captured by the devotion of his devotee. So Prahlad Maharaj, he is exhibiting how the sadhana brings one to siddha. And the many examples, Narada Muni is another one, and so on and so forth. Of course, this is another category of kripa siddha. Prabhupada talks about that. But a kripa siddha means mercy, perfect by mercy. And that means that though he's performed sadhana, the mercy of the Supreme Lord is discordant with the amount of sadhana he's performed. He's performed maybe a little sadhana, but the Supreme Lord somehow or other has decided, let me give him perfection. But generally he has approached the Supreme Lord with sincerity and the Supreme Lord. So ultimately, even the sadhana siddha, he is a kripa siddha. Because sadhana is a way to evoke the mercy of Krishna. So this is how to properly understand sadhana and nitya siddha, these devotees. They are nitya siddha and they are performing sadhana as an illustration and a teaching to us. And here we find some other points of understanding in Lord Nrisimhadev's teachings. He says that by feeling happiness you will burn up the results of your pious activity. And Prabhupada, in the word for word, if you remember, the supreme pious activity is bhakti. So, and then, so that is very interesting because there's an expression in English, I don't know if it's in Hindi, but they say, as miserable as sin. Have you heard that before? Oh, look, I feel as miserable as sin. Or she's as miserable as sin. It means if you're sinful, you feel miserable. But if you're feeling happy, this is the result of some pious activity in the past. But your piety, that will be burnt up by feeling happiness or by performing bhakti. Because not, as we say at the beginning of the class, we're not really interested in material happiness. And then the other nice point here is that any reactions to impious activity will be neutralized also. And that's very interesting. There's also an illustration of that in the Bhagavatam, 10th canto, if you remember. The gopis, Krishna was playing his flute on that beautiful autumn night, and he was calling, come, I want your association, my dear gopis, playing the flute, calling the gopis. The gopis heard, oh Krishna, let us go, Krishna wants us, our association, let's go and serve him. They weren't thinking, let's go and enjoy. That is the material, but their pure devotee doesn't have this drive to extract happiness. He wants to give happiness. So they heard Krishna's flute, let us go and serve Krishna. And they were so excited spiritually, they were not dressing properly and this and that. And so part of the leela, their fathers, sons, wives, whatever, they tried to hold them back. And it is explained there in the Bhagavatam and by the Acharyas also, that when they were held back, the anxiety that they felt to be restrained from serving Krishna, this burnt up the remnants of their pious and impious activity. This spiritual anxiety to serve Krishna in bhakti burnt up their papa and punya. This is a very important point. And then in their spiritual body, they went and danced in the Ras Leela with Krishna in great ecstasy. So, we have to, this is the point. We are all, at least myself, a fallen soul. So I have very little punya, and mainly pap. But if I become a devotee and become anxious to serve Krishna, we can overcome all this material conditioning. So we have to, this is the skill, the expertise of life, to always be anxious to satisfy the spiritual master and under his direction to satisfy the Supreme Lord. And then we become fit. But there's also an interesting point here that those sadhana siddhas, those devotees, those gopis, they were associating with Krishna and yet they still had the remnants of papa and punya. It's very interesting. So acharyas have written, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, especially in Jiva Dharma, he explains, because he's talking about back to Godhead. So this is a very important point. To attain the association of Krishna in the Gokul Leela, in the Bhoma Leela, in the manifest Leela within the material atmosphere, one has to just attain Bhava Bhakti, as we are saying, there's Sadhana Bhakti, which is Vaidhi and Rag, and then there is Bhava Bhakti, and that is divided into Bhava and Prem Bhakti. So, if one has attained Bhava, the Acharyas explain, then one is qualified to attain Krishna in the Bhoma Leela, in his manifest pastimes within the material universes. And then by that association, Krishna is, Balaram is Adiguru, but ultimately that is a manifestation. Krishna is the original spiritual master also. His potency is manifest there in Baladev. But Krishna is the ultimate spiritual master. By his association, even though we are not Prem Bhaktas, just maybe on the platform of Bhava Bhakti, by his association that will draw us to ultimate purity. And we can attain our, fully attain our Swarup and our relationship with Krishna. So, we'll finish on that point and say, and what should we do on that journey? We should chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So we have a few minutes for questions. Well, I want to add one little thing that I was just thinking last night, because I was looking. And it's very interesting progression. If actually, it's not my idea. I read it in a book many, many years ago. And it's discussing, because this Leela is Jai and Vijay interacting with Krishna. So in this book, this devotee, who was an Acharya, is explaining that there's a progression in Jai and Vijay's interaction with the Supreme Lord. If you remember, Hiranyaksha, he was polished off by Varaha, right? That is the Supreme Lord in an animal form, and not a very elevated animal form, but of course Krishna is always pure, even in the form of a hog. So, and then we have Hiranyakashipu, he's polished off by half animal and half man, Narasimha, right? So he's half man. And then in their next incarnation as Ravana and Kumbhakarna, they were both polished off by Ramchandra. But Ramchandra is a Leela avatar, and he is Manusha Leela. That means he is displaying the activities of a Manusha, of a man. It's not fully displaying the opulence of Krishna as Gopinath. But he's, so here we have first Varaha, then we, which is animal, then we have animal and human, Nrisingadev, then we have an animal for human form of Ramchandra, of Krishna as Ramchandra, and then in the forms of Dantavakra and Shishupal, they were polished off by Bhagavan Sri Krishna, and they had consciousness that this is perhaps the supreme Bhagavan. When he's an animal form, is easy to dismiss, or half animal form, or Manusha Leela. Oh, look at this Ramchandra, he's chasing after his wife. He's just an ordinary man. They're able to dismiss. But Supreme Lord Krishna, that's in the Mahabharata, Krishna went to Duryodhana trying to stop the Mahabharata war, the Kurukshetra battle. And Duryodhana thought, now's my chance. He was going to plead with Duryodhana, don't make this fight, it'll be so destructive. But Duryodhana, expansion of Kali, demon, he tried to bind Krishna. And Krishna partially manifest the Virat Rupa in the assembly. So in that assembly, that means the universal form, how he is pervading then, supporting, Sutri Mani Gana Iva, how he is supporting the material energy. And he is woven into the material energy. So he partially displayed that, not fully as in the Bhagavad Gita, 11th chapter, but he was displaying the opulence of Supreme Bhagavan. So therefore Shishupal had the real focus. Oh, this is not a Varaha. This is not a half man. This is not an ordinary king like Ramchandra. This is the Supreme Lord. So he became supremely envious. Huh? This is my enemy. This is the surely the object of my envy, the Supreme Lord. So therefore, in their next life, they became devotees, because they were killed in the consciousness, this is the Supreme Lord. Whereas when they were killed, they were dismissing Varaha, Nrisingadev as some kind of devata, as Manusha Leela, Ram, he's just an ordinary man. So I'm not. They weren't in the consciousness of being polished off by the Supreme Lord. But when they were polished off by Krishna, they knew we are killed by Bhagavan. And then in their next life, Jai Vijay, and they became... Jagai Madai. And then they became, returned to their devotional state. So it's a very interesting... there's so many things in the Shastra, and it's very fascinating how everything is woven together. So daily... read the Shastra, become absorbed in the words of the Acharyas, and that is food for the blossoming of the devotional kripa. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Thank you all very much. Srila Prabhupada, Sadhu Sangha, Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.